Salam everyone. I will continue the reading. In Thus Speaks Maitreya, about surrendering and submission. I will read chapter Quran and thanks God for good song. In the Quran and Islam, the name of God is given as Allah. Allah was the name of God which was known by most of the religions of the world where Islam was revealed, as God is a very universal name for the Lord and is used for God in all religions. Allah was the name used at that time. However, after Prophet Muhammad used this name in his religion, other religions stopped using it in order to differentiate Islam from themselves. In fact, the name Allah is closely related to many original sacred names found in the original Bible. Some of these sacred names for God show their closeness to the name Allah. They are sacred names because they are vibrational sounds, mantras, and are empowered to affect and awaken different spiritual forces in the human. To make the Quran more universal for those who are not familiar with the name Allah, one can substitute God for Allah, which are the same, in the verses in order to be able to relate to the truth which underlies the words of the Quran. Again, we see that the name Allah was chosen only to be able to communicate about God. It is a derivative of Elohim and other Hebrew roots which all mean God or the Adorable One. In fact, there is no name for anything in this universe. Everything just is. However, for the purpose of communication, we give names to things. Unfortunately, people become so attached to the power of the words that they forget this simple truth. That is one of the greatest confusions created between religions, the barrier of the power of the word. The name Allah also is a great sound vibration which directly affects the seed of the mind, the sixth chakra. It consists of two syllables, al and ah. Ah is directly related to the breath and is a part of the vibration of the holy breath, and al is a prefix which is used in front of names in Arabic. So the most important part in the name Allah is the ah, which is related to the breath and which can be used to awaken the spiritual centers in the body. Therefore, it is not really a name but a sound vibration, very subtle, like Jehovah, Jehovah. In fact, its power is because of its subtlety of vibration, development of the power of concentration, and its relationship to the breath, three characteristics for a mantra. Even Prophet Muhammad himself declared that he did not consider the name of God to be Allah, but that all the beautiful names belong to him. Of course, the highest is that the name of the Lord cannot be uttered in the physical level. It does not matter how you call him. You can call him Jehovah or Yahweh, Allah or Krishna, or God or He or Am or I Am, or any name on the material level. This is not him, because he is formless, nameless, invisible, and eternal. Fine. He is fine, and he is beyond all these names. His sacred name cannot even be pronounced. There is a story that someone asked Prophet Muhammad, "What is the name of God? Is it Allah?" He said, "God has 3,000 names. Humanity knows only 2,999 of them. There is one name that you do not know." Next chapter, Kingdom. Prophet Muhammad established the Kingdom of Heaven in a small part of the world for a short period of time. We should remember that the Arab civilization then was so primitive that the people used to kill their female children or sell them in childhood. They did not care for the female children. They only wanted male children. Also, they had many, many gods and they worshipped statues, etc. Prophet Muhammad started his mission in Mecca, and Mecca was the center of idol worshipping. There were 365 idols in their place of worship, and every day they worshipped one of these idols. And every idol belonged to a tribe or a nation or a people. There is a story that even the statue of Krishna was in the temple, so when the Hindus came to Mecca, they had their god there so they could worship Krishna. And the tribes of the Arabs themselves had many, many different gods. Everyone had their god. Everyone was happy. From all over the world, they would come there, worship their god, and bring the merchants to Mecca. These people bought and sold, and so they made profits there. You could find almost anything you wanted in Mecca. If you wanted some Kashmir from places in India, you could find it. If you wanted something from Egypt or from Persia, you could go to Mecca and buy it. Apparently, it was a peaceful place. Suddenly, Muhammad came and said, "I have received this revelation that there is no God but God, La ilaha il Allah." That hurt all those merchants and all those people who had the power of Mecca in their hands and were prosperous. They were prosperous because they made this setup of 365 idols. This attracted many merchants there. They spent their money and the people of Mecca prospered. They did not pay too much attention to him in the beginning. But when his followers started growing and becoming strong, they said, "Well, this really is going to be a treat to the 365 gods." And they were going to lose a lot of business because the merchants with different beliefs would no longer come that route to stay in Mecca. So they started opposing him. The merchants and people in power in Mecca became pretty upset, because if they agreed with what he said, then their gods were no longer God. They were just idols. So they tried to bribe him. They tried to give him money. They tried to give him position or anything he wanted. He said, "If you give me the sun in one hand and the moon in the other, I'm not going to change my mind. I know what I received and I believe in what I received." To prophets of God, it does not make any differences if you offer them the whole universe. Still, they are going to go ahead and do their missions. When a prophet comes and brings a new religion, a new ideology, a new revelation, probably he is ahead of his time. When he is ahead of humanity, they have a hard time to understand him. And because they have a hard time to understand, they do not want him to say what he is saying. It is probably that they feel it is opposing their social setup. Resistance to a new teaching comes from human fears. However, after Islam was established, in a short period of time, that same society became the center of world civilization. In 100 years, they started creating algebra, they started studying the stars, and the people became educated. Suddenly, when Europe was in the dark age, Islam was the center of civilization, and all the many wonderful discoveries that later on helped humanity came from them. Mecca not only became a greater center of business, it became a great city. A lot of people started traveling to it, and they even started becoming greater in all levels, scientifically, business-wise, and theologically. Everything became much greater than before. This shows how, with the proper environment and by following God's principles, a difference will be made for the progress of man. Next chapter, Law. Grace came by Isa, Law with Muhammad, Universalism with Baha'i. In Islam, Muhammad brought a lot of laws for the Muslims. Also, in the Hebrew teaching, a lot of laws came through Moses. Actually, in all the great religions of the world, the law of karma, a reaction for any action and its consequence, more or less, has been accepted. Although this law has been presented in different terms or phrases, they all express this truth. Those who do not follow God's laws, sin, will be punished sooner or later, unless they learn their lessons and repent. So, if it is true, then why do we need social punishment, and or why did Moses and Muhammad constitute external punishment for the wrongdoers? Although the law of karma is true and man, knowingly or unknowingly, is punished for his wrongdoings, this law prevents only those who are sensitive enough or are in a higher consciousness from wrongdoing. They realize the truth behind this law and therefore keep themselves from sin. However, those who are in their lower natures truly believe they are nothing more than this physical body. They have no sense of spiritual existence and no sensitivity toward the punishments that they bear because of their actions. They only understand bodily discomfort and punishment. In fact, earthly laws are for people in this level or consciousness who, by being punished physically or by seeing others punished physically, are prevented from wrongdoings. Prophet Muhammad did not put it in the way of the law of karma. He put it in a much simpler way for the people around him at that time to understand. He said, "It is going to be like a necklace around your neck. That necklace shows what your action has been in your lifetime, and you are going to be judged according to these actions." That has been the base for the laws brought by Moses or Prophet Muhammad. The man who is spiritually aware knows that the judgment of God is enough for him, and his laws are followed by internal awareness of the consequence of breaking them and or the joy of following them. Grace burns all impurities. But the man of flesh only knows the punishment of flesh and how to avoid such a punishment. However, these laws only are valid and enforceable if a just society has been created and true leaders, incorruptible and just, are leading society. In order to implement God's laws in society justly, the awareness of the people of the truth behind the religions and God, truth, is another factor. So the mass would not be exploited by intellectual spiritualists, dogmas, because of their ignorance. These are, again, more reasons that each person should become familiar with the truth behind the spiritual world and realize that the leadership of Paraviprasas, true leaders, elected ones, is necessary. After such a society has been established, then the laws of God can be applied to those who even in such a society will not follow the social orders but continue to commit crimes. Then they will be punished. With this, they would become an external symbol of internal punishment for those who need such an example. We find the laws of Moses and Muhammad so hard to practice in our unjust societies. In a society where all have the basic necessities, a man who steals out of greed can have his hand cut off. But if a man steals out of necessity or for any other forgivable reason, he cannot be judged for that action. Prophet Muhammad and other prophets are seeing the truths of the universe in different ways with the same understanding of the realities of the universe. Dharma, dharma, is a Sanskrit word which means innate nature. Every particle or being in the universe has one or multiple dharmas. The dharma of an animal is to eat, drink, sleep, regenerate, progress in that level of consciousness, and die. He does not have any knowledge of self or God. The dharma of man, in the physiological level, is as an animal, but man is more developed and also has a greater dharma. That greater dharma is to realize the spiritual world and to reach the goal of creation, pure consciousness. That is, the human body is the most perfect instrument for reaching pure consciousness. Dharma can also be described as rules, regulations, or laws which govern each part of the universe alone or all of the universe as a whole. We have individual dharma. Dharma for a special group of people, men, women, etc. Dharma for society, world dharma, universal dharma, laws, etc. These dharmas are called the laws of God by the prophets. These laws can never be broken. A person might think he can break these laws, or even apparently that person will break the laws, but eventually he who breaks these laws breaks himself against them. That is what the process of evolution and history teach humans. If they understand and follow the lessons given by this process, they can accelerate their progress toward pure consciousness. Yet, if they follow their false egos and their own laws and regulations, lower natures, no one will be hurt but themselves. This body is given to us for a purpose. For example, when we feel pain, we know something is wrong. In the same way, when everyone becomes lost and does not know what to do in life, then man should know there is something wrong with his laws and way of living. When man finally sees that throughout all of his story he has suffered by following his false ego, then he will realize the shortcomings of his own laws and surrender to the universal laws, no matter how bad they look to his ego. Only by following the Dharma of everything can we be happy. No matter how much we intellectually argue, it will not help to bring happiness to humanity. Only following the laws of God will bring everlasting happiness and peace. God sent the commandments. Follow them and then see the results. You will see the strength, the quietness of the mind, the peace of the soul and spirit when you follow Him, and those are really what you need. God brings the sun up in the sky. He does not care shining on a sinner or a saint. The difference is that the sinner has an umbrella over his head. Although the sun is up, he is not receiving any light. The problem with the sinner, who is self-centered, selfish, and disconnected, is that he or she has his umbrella of ego over his head. God is giving the grace all the time, but he is not receiving it. The saint does not have any ego. He is open and says, "Oh great, I'm receiving all this grace." He is very happy. So there is no difference between us. The difference is how much we are receiving the Spirit from Him. Once more, God is trying to awaken men to understand that He exists. He expects men to understand this, give up his little false ego, and follow Him and His laws. Only those who do so will be regarded as greater than the rest. Those who keep their limited egos and do not come to the path of righteousness will suffer the consequences of their actions and will go far astray. Those who go to Him will reach salvation through His grace. If we say that Islam does not believe in reincarnation, then we are saying that God cannot reincarnate. That is directly opposed to the Quran's teaching of Allah verily is able to do all things. Also, reincarnation is the way to believe in the justness of God. If all men have only one lifetime, and man is born in an environment where he never had a chance to progress, even to be told of the realities of the scriptures and God, then God cannot judge him. But if he is reincarnated again and again, and warned and tested, but he refuses to be guided, then it is justified for him to be drawn into illusion, be punished. The Quran was sent to correct previous stories which had been given by God, and also to bring new laws after the lawgiving was taken from Judah. Furthermore, we know the Bible had been lost. Many other teachings had influenced it, and some parts had been omitted or added. Therefore, for understanding the truth, we should trust the new revelations which were sent by God to humanity, but not blindly. We should see if they have been fulfilled or not. Next chapter, Jihad. Jihad is one of the most misunderstood words in Islam. Jihad means struggle. Jihad comes from jihad, which means struggle to achieve something. It is said in the writings of Prophet Muhammad that the greatest struggle, jihad, is the struggle of the human within. So jihad means going from imperfection to perfection. It resembles the word sadhana in Sanskrit, which means struggle. Sadhana also refers to meditation. Jihad also means external struggle in order to establish the truth over wrongdoings, the kingdom of heaven on earth, the dharma. That is why Prophet Muhammad used this word for the holy wars with the Arab tribes in order to destroy their pagan beliefs and establish his monistic teaching in that land. This external jihad was necessary at that time because of all the opposition by those people whose main source of income was threatened by the Islamic ideology. The businessman of Mecca told the Prophet Muhammad that he could preach his religion if he did not oppose the images in Mecca. This would enable the merchants from all around the world to come and worship their images in Mecca and spend their money. But he did not accept their proposal, and the light of enmity began between those rich businessmen and the Prophet. This became so strong that Prophet Muhammad had to leave Mecca and go to Medina. Later on, the fight between Mecca and Medina kindled, and the concept of jihad was revealed to Muhammad as holy war. However, its true meaning is internal and external struggle. In the course of time, jihad lost its more important meaning as internal struggle and was used only to mean the duty of each Muslim to take up a weapon and fight to end the enemy that had attacked Muslims or to be used to destroy disbelievers. Many leaders in Islam lost the truth that external struggle is an impossibility without internal struggle. This is the same as Christ taught the Pharisees that they should clean the inside and outside of the cup if they want to have a clean cup. Again, we can see that with misunderstanding beautiful concepts such as this, great disasters take place. It is not religions that are the source of suffering, but the way they have been interpreted by humanity. Because of their ignorance and because they do not search for the truth themselves, the people believe whatever is told them. They become narrow-minded, and this brings suffering to humanity. In short, suffering comes from ignorance. In fact, only those who internally and externally struggle all their lives are the ones who can declare a holy war. Otherwise, holy wars can be misused by those who have narrow interests, and they will manipulate the emotions of the people toward their religions for their own selfish ends. Actually, Prophet Muhammad discouraged his followers from fighting and even arguing with Jews and Christians. However, later in history, there was a great fight between them, the Crusades. So it is the people who create these fights and inflict suffering on humanity by following dogmatic beliefs and bringing superstitions between people. Life is a struggle, jihad, within and without. The struggle within is the fight between the higher and lower natures. This battle involves warding off the power of the tamaguna, the force bending the soul toward the external world, to establish the kingdom of heaven within. The external struggle is to overcome excess attraction of Maya, illusion of life, and establish the kingdom of heaven on earth. All these struggles are to create an environment that allows each individual to grow to his fullest potential. Those who say life is an illusion are greatly mistaken. Life and the manifested universe are not illusions, but excess attraction to this manifested universe is illusion. How is the kingdom of heaven on earth going to come? It comes through the society, through individual and social purifications. Individual purification is the progress of the consciousness, physically, mentally, and spiritually. But at the same time, there is a social aspect in the human. The society also has to purify itself. Next chapter. It is believed by Muslims, followers of Islam, that Muhammad was the last prophet. Muslims refer to a verse in the Quran which contains a word which has two different pronunciations, each with a different meaning. It can be pronounced Katem, last, the end, or Katam, the seals. The true meaning of this word has been the subject of dispute for centuries. Some say it is Katem, so Prophet Muhammad was the last prophet. Some say Katam, so he was the seal of the prophets. But they do not give an explanation as to why he was the seal. However, in truth, the word can be pronounced in both ways, and both meanings are correct. Prophet Muhammad brought the highest spiritual realizations for humanity, to be surrendered and submissive to the Lord. So there will not be any higher realization brought to humanity. Therefore, from this point of view, he is the last prophet, the Katem of the prophets. Also, as it has been shown in the greatest sign, the sign of Islam is at the very top. Therefore, it is the seal in the plan of the Lord, and Prophet Muhammad is the seal of the prophets, Katam of the prophets. However, with Islam, the plan of God was not yet finished. Still, there were three more truths which should have come before the plan was complete. The first four truths, Far East philosophies or mystical paths, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, plus the next three, Vahai, Paravipras, and pure consciousness, make up the seven truths which are symbolized as the seven churches and seven seals in the Revelation, the last book of the Bible, and are presented in the greatest sign. Also, it was foretold in the Quran that further truth would come. Allah will bring a people whom He loveth and who love Him. Surah, the table spread, 54. Furthermore, in Islam, God is one who does whatever He pleases, so He can also send another prophet if He wills, pleases to do so. However, the spiritual understanding was finished with Prophet Muhammad, and from this point of view, he is the last prophet. But to complete and expand the human mind, other steps were necessary. The next prophet who brought universalism was Bab, or the Ba'i faith, without the universal point of view. All of the four previous truths will be narrow, and narrowness indeed is the root cause of all suffering and is not according to the will of God. Therefore, expansion of the mind, universalism was necessary. The name of this new truth is historically known as the Ba'i faith, although no new spiritual realization was brought to humanity by this religion, with realizing that universalism will result in expansion of the mind and destruction of all narrowness of the mind, the importance of this truth can be felt, and it also is a part of the eternal divine path. Until a universal point of view is created and it is understood that God is everything, there is a possibility that the mind will become narrow in its scope and this will create suffering. God can give prophethood to anyone He wishes in any time of history before and after Prophet Muhammad. It is completely up to Him. Even thinking that any prophet is the last one is a sin, because we are seeing what God should do or should not do. The Lord God has a great plan to fulfill and He will not stop until it is done. The problem is that the human wants to narrow God's works into one aspect or dimension, but God's words and actions are multidimensional. That is where the misunderstanding starts. You cannot narrow the expanded work of the Lord to the small understanding of man. To know Him and His words require bringing yourself to His expanded level. This endeavor of man to narrow the works of the Lord is another reason for human sufferings. I will stop reading here. So I say salam to all of you and see you later. Salam.